Hi, this is James Johnson, and this is a review of the Burning Coal Theater of Raleigh's season opener, Stuff Happens, which opened October 11th and will run until October 28th. Go to www.burningcoal.org for tickets. The Burning Coal Theater has opened their season with Stuff Happens, a historic drama about the months leading up to the Iraqi War from the perspective of the people who put us there: President George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, Tony Blair, Condoleezza Rice, and Donald Rumsfeld, to name a few. Much of the show's dialogue is made up of real-life accounts of what was said by the people portrayed in the play, though some of the scenes are merely playwright David Hare's interpretation of what conversations might have gone down. In the show's press release, it is mentioned with some pride that none of the claims made by the show have thus far been refuted, with the real-life Colin Powell even going so far as saying that the show got the history mostly right. On opening night, the audience was not exactly packed. For me, this was one of those shows. By that I mean, it's one of those plays that doesn't carry with it the gimmick of a big musical number or a name everyone recognizes, but after you see it, you want to tell every friend of yours who has ever said that they aren't a theater person to shut up and buy a ticket to this show. The show plays out sort of like a documentary, or Adam McKay's The Big Short. Boatloads of historical facts are unloaded on unsuspecting audiences, but through an abundance of style, quickly choreographed scene changes, and use of sound and visuals, it never feels like you're doing homework. That is a credit to director Lillian White, who seems to know a thing or two about maintaining a play's tempo. However, the cast deserve credit here as well, as this show is the purest definition of an ensemble performance. There are standouts, but it would be difficult to say any single actor carries the show. The closest the show comes to having a singular protagonist is with Colin Powell, played by Burning Coal regular Byron Jennings. Jennings' Powell serves as the show's moral compass. He is both fighting the administration he works for to ensure that war with a country that has not attacked us is not a foregone conclusion, and fighting with the UN to ensure that they will have America's back when the war inevitably does happen. Jennings seems young for the role, and maybe more passionate a speaker than Powell has ever been, but he is impossible to take your eyes off of when he is on stage. Toward the end of the show, his character seems to take a turn, which isn't explained, as I guess it hasn't been explained in history. It isn't clear whether Powell has simply resigned himself to the fact that the war was unavoidable, or if he finally decided to drink the Kool-Aid. Nothing about Jennings' performance tells us which is which, but from the character he has built up until this point, I feel like the only logical guess is that Powell recognized that he was a lone voice of opposition and decided it was an uphill battle that could not be won. Other performances I must mention include actor Michael Babbitt as George W. Bush. The cast was somewhat inconsistent as to whether or not they were attempting to make the characters their own interpretation, or if they, like Babbitt, intended on recreating the actual person on stage. Babbitt's performance is a thing of beauty. He somehow managed to both completely channel our former president's quiet strength and undeterred ego. Babbitt does seem to be less of a goofball than the real-life President Bush, but his performance, right down to his squinted eyes, is eerily spot on. I can't speak for how accurate Equity actor Matthew Baldiga's Tony Blair is, as Blair wasn't as big a part of my childhood as Bush was. However, I can say that his performance as the anxiety-ridden Blair was one of my favorites in the show. His scenes with Babbitt's Bush were show highlights, and his exasperation with having to balance his desire to be popular with his country and his desire to maintain his relationship with America provides much of the show's comedy.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end.
One actor who I felt was criminally underused, though it is no fault of the theaters, was actor Rob Jenkins as Dick Cheney. Jenkins found an aspect of Cheney that fit and ran with it. That aspect is Cheney's smarminess. Even when he is not talking, you can see Jenkins off in a corner, smugly smirking as he watches others debate things that he already knows are going to happen. Jenkins' partner in subterfuge is Brooke North as Donald Rumsfeld. Though the show's title comes from an infamous quote of Rumsfeld's, North is not given a ton to do in the show, which is too bad as his more energetic take on the character seemed interesting. Both he and Jennings seemed the least interested in doing an impression of their characters' real-life counterparts. There are positives and negatives to interpreting a real-life figure versus channeling one. Take Tiana West's performance as former National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, for example. Initially, I thought her performance was somewhat cardboard and uninteresting, until a line toward the end of the show illustrated that this was actually a pretty accurate portrayal of Rice, as Rice spent much of her time in the White House ensuring that no one knew her opinion about anything at any time. This was an unusual stance for someone who was hired for her ability to advise, something pointed out by Jennings' pal, but this was the stance Rice took, and I imagine that had West chose to perform her in a manner in which the character demonstrated more personality or a stronger opinion on things going on around her, then her portrayal would have conflicted with the portrayal offered in the script. Also, and I'm going a little off script here because I didn't write this down, but I really need to mention this. Wes sings a little in the show, and this is not a musical, but she has such a lovely voice that it really needs to be mentioned. It is a short performance of Amazing Grace, which, of course, you know, her being the daughter of a preacher, that made sense for her character, and it was just a lovely and eerie moment. I think the show could have benefited from director Lillian White demanding consistency, determining early on whether every actor would be going for a personal interpretation or an accurate impression, but the lack of consistency did not diminish my enjoyment of the show. While other actors had less to do, just about every actor in the show has a moment to tell a particular character's story, and I can't think of any actor who did not do this well. Some highlights include actor Darius Chaffa, who pulled double duty as former French Prime Minister Dominique de Villepin and an unnamed Iraqi exile. In both cases, Chaffa held his own and did a great job of the French and Iraqi dialects he was forced to adopt. There was only one time in the play where Chaffa's French accent was a little hard to understand, but yeah, for the most part, just spot on. Another of my favorite performances was that of actress Julie Oliver, who played the gender-bent George Tenet. At some point in the show, she delivers a monologue as an unnamed Englishwoman, reacting to America and their desire for war. That was both amusing and a little heartbreaking. I hope I get to see Oliver in more shows soon. She was really, really great to watch.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing.
I have to make another very long review even longer by talking about the show's scenic, lighting, and sound design, though I'll try to be quick. Unlike many theaters in the state, Burning Coal decided not to go with a Halloween-appropriate show like Evil Dead, Ghost the Musical, Sweeney Todd, or the Rocky Horror Show. However, the design of the set, music, and lighting of Stuff Happens still has that horror movie vibe. Which makes sense. I mean, Sweeney Todd is scary, but he never killed 100,000 Iraqi civilians. I believe the number is up to 500,000 now. The show was done in a round with TV monitors on either side of the stage, which not only helped illustrate the things being said, but also add to the creepy atmosphere. Like the tattered flag on the show's poster, there is a greatly distressed-looking presidential seal on the floor at center stage. Edie Interman's lighting and scenery design, combined with the video, music, and sound design of the California-based creative studio Dogbotic, created a chilling effect that was as beautiful as it was haunting. I found only one issue of the sound, and that was during certain speeches told throughout the show. They pre-recorded these short speeches on video, but also had the actor read them live from the theater's balcony seating area. I think they thought hearing the actor say the speech at the same time as the recording of it was playing would simply cause an echo effect. But since the two were so out of sync, it just made it a struggle to understand what was being said. I'm hoping by next weekend they will have fixed this issue. For example, you may be able to understand what I'm saying right now,
but you might be having a little difficulty.
Costume designer Kahe Shum McRae also did a commendable job finding ways to personalize the collection of suits and ties worn by much of the cast so that they felt specific to each character. Careful attention seemed to be paid to the clothing worn by Babbitt's George W. Bush so that at just a glance you could tell who Babbitt was playing. Some of the actors who were playing multiple parts or random civilians wore these gray, semi-casual dress clothes. It seems like since most of them inevitably end up playing government officials at some point in the play anyway, it would have saved time to just put them all in suits so that they aren't slapping ties on collarless shirts. Overall, Stuff Happens is an electric and exciting show about a subject matter that is less electric and more depressing. I can't recommend this show enough, especially to those who typically write theater off. This is a fresh and fascinating show worth repeat viewings. 4 out of 5 stars. Hey guys, this is being recorded last minute, which is why I'm not using my good mic. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that today, if you aren't happy with the stuff that is happening currently in Washington, D.C., or you're very happy with it, there's a way you can affect it. You can vote today in North Carolina. That's right. In the midterms, 2018, you can vote right now. Run off to your local one-stop voting office or wherever you need to vote and go cast your vote. It's not for a presidential election, obviously, it's midterms, but in a way it has more of an effect. You are able to take away some of that power or help maintain some of that power depending on how you swing politically. Anyway, the midterms are important, and they are somewhat related to this review, so I feel justified in giving them a shout-out. So, go vote!